Hello, diamond beauties and interdimensional beings of light. It's Lisa here, your mystic guide, inviting you to come and take a ride with me as we journey through space and time. Our mission is to create conscious content for 1111D, sharing resources of light for the new reality. Welcome to the Buddhist Biohacker.
Buddhist Biohacker would like to thank our partners Block Therapy, Purity Coffee, Dry Farm Wines, Omnia, and 2-1 Photography. Information can be found on lisamgunshore.com. Join our forum at miwi.com/Buddhist Biohacker and watch live on YouTube on the Buddhist Biohacker channel.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, and welcome on in for another live episode of Buddhist Biohacker. Our mission is to create conscious content for 1111D, and we are here today with Cairo Rocha, who couldn't be more conscious content than anyone I can imagine. And so welcome back, Cairo. I'm so happy to have you on today.
I'm so happy to be here, Lisa. And again, I'm always thankful for your efforts and nonstop. I don't know how you sleep, or because you're always on the go and promoting this. It's so beautiful and so valuable at this time.
Oh, well, thank you, Cairo. I love having you, and I'm happy to report to everyone who's joining in the live that Cairo will be continuing every single month with us into 2021. And we just so appreciate everything that you bring to the table. And I'm really excited about the direction of the Buddhist Biohacker channel, because we really are going to be focused on education, learning, healing as we go forward into the new year. So everyone who's joining in the live, you can absolutely ask questions of Cairo today. It's just a wealth of information. And at the end of the call, we're going to talk about what kind of actions you can take this week and this month to be able to take this learning from Cairo and be able to move forward in your own life. So, Cairo, what do you want to talk about today? What's up for you?
Yeah, well, one thing that is the inspiration of what the subject will be talking about comes from what's happening to me as in my practice during the week. And since we started talking about emotions, and last time we spoke about the spiritual aspect of the liver and the lungs, and today I would like to explore fear and its friends, anxiety, phobias, because as you know, as everybody knows, as a result of everything that's going on in the world, those are the most prevalent emotions, whether you are aware of it or not. But yeah, I'd like to explore a bit of, you know, put a little focus on fear in general and discuss that and show what, you know, the Chinese have to say about that.
I love that, because I love what you said about fear and its friends. Like, that is so up for everyone. I mean, what do I want to say? Any of anger, frustration, destructive emotions that are up for all of us right now, I think the root of that is the fear of the unknown, of what we're experiencing in our lives right now. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to hear what you have to teach us about fear today.
Yeah, it's what you said, the unknown. It's a very, you know, scary just to think about it, just to mention it, to visualize the unknown. It shakes our foundation. But I'd like to explore a little bit, Lisa. Basically, fear is basically down, you know, it's like the belief that we are in danger, you know? And basically, as with all the emotions, we talked about this before, there's no such thing as bad emotion or good emotions. They're just basically expressions of the self, you know? You cannot conceive a human being without emotions. That would be a problem in itself, right? Mm-hmm. And the issue is what I call most important thing about emotions is air, A-R, A-I-R. I call air, is to acknowledge, integrate, and release. Air, as the name suggests. So that's what emotions want. They want to be heard. They want to be acknowledged because they are expressions of deep, or something, deep energies. And it's like a form of your inner physician who's trying to communicate with us or to convey a message. And once this message is conveyed as understood, then there's no reason for the emotion to be there, right? So that's the idea, air. Now, the problem comes when one particular emotions or more than one, they are always around. They become almost like a fabric of yourself, isn't it? Almost like a second skin, like a diver's skin. They're so tight, so close to you, that it becomes, you know, it's you, right? And you've been with you for so long, and it's friends, the emotion and friends, that you don't acknowledge that anymore. Maybe a friend or a therapist or somebody can see, but we cannot. Yeah, it's very hard. One thing that I see a lot in my practice, Lisa, is we call PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, which exemplifies that it can be this fear can be something real, like you have a tiger running after you. You happen to be in India. There's a real fear. There's this tiger after you. Or it could be unconscious. You know, you had an accident in the past, but you totally forgot about it, but something keeps coming, affecting you. You know, you don't know. And I had a very interesting case from the very beginning. This lady, she came to me. She had a urinary problem, like incontinence, and low back pain, and a pain in the inner side of her leg, constant. So I started talking to her about, and it turned out way back, it's like a, you know, pulling the thread. She was walking with her then very young daughter, probably 12 or something like that, and she was attacked by a dog, the daughter. So somebody came around and helped, and nothing happens, just stress. Soon after that, the girl was fine, but the mother started experiencing these problems. So I started looking, pulling the thread, as I said. I realized that the inner side of her leg, it coincided with the kidneys, the kidney meridian, yeah, and the lower back as well, close to where the kidneys are, through adrenals. So that even though, just to exemplify, nothing was there, she couldn't remember until, you know, we start talking about this, that just started affecting the area where we feel it the most, which is the kidneys. So we're going to be talking about this in a moment in Chinese medicine, because each emotion is connected to a particular organ, right? And fear is very much kidneys, very much kidneys. And also it's reactions that come from that. One thing that I see a lot in my practice is that this can be a trauma that's been going on from generations and generations. It's been passed on. Like grandpa or grandma, they had a traumatic historic event or something happened to the family, and this has been passed on, you know. So here I see a person that didn't actually experience that, but still feel the effect of that. Yeah, we're going to explain this in a moment. Now, as I said, it can be real, you know, or it can be imaginary, or can be something stuck in your BA. Right? Now, when we talk about chronic fear, it's not a very popular topic of discussion, is it? In a group of people, let's talk about chronic fear. I've never seen that before. But yet, fear is everywhere. It's everywhere. It's basically like families, media, school, even religions are organized around a certain measure of fear, isn't it? Mm-hmm. There's something to do or not to do. It's always around an element of fear, to prevent this from happening, for this to happen. And again, they're so automatic, so part of ourselves, this or that. I can only imagine if only we could let go of fears for a moment, we wouldn't recognize ourselves. Right? So everything we know, most of what we know, much we've learned, most of our beliefs are around this element of fear. There's something somewhere. This is very sad, you know, because when you're born, you already have that in your genes, you know, in you, in your makeup, your energetic makeup. Because in Chinese medicine, we have what we call prenatal qi, right? It's before you're born. So basically, it's a combination of the qi, or the essence of your father, combined with the essence of your mother. And the Tibetans put something in the middle. It's called karma. It's a This is Tibetan's contribution, karma. So that's the energy that is imprinted to you the moment of the conception. All right. So the Chinese are very particular about the time when you're trying to conceive, the parents are trying to conceive, as to prepare yourself with the best you can, health-wise, mental-wise. So when you conceive, that's the energy you're going to pass on to your offspring. And this prenatal qi is stores where? In the kidneys. It's called jing. Jing, J-I-N-G, which can be translated to essence. And this jing, this essence, it stays in the gene and assists our development, like the child, the fetus, it grows. And then it stays there like some sort of saving accounts for the old age. Right? So this gene is stored in your saving accounts. Then we kind of ask, well, what if my parents were not, careful? So I'm going to inherit this unbalanced gene. Oh, Jing. So there's something else. There was a provision for that. This is called postnatal qi or Jing or qi essence, which is the one we acquire with what we eat, the air we breathe, the water we drink. So this is our current account. So even if Jing is not 100%, at least we have a good maintenance is something we have full control upon most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a good example of this fear that it's unconscious. Myself, when I was very young, I started studying when I was six. I went to school. It was a Catholic school run by nuns, Franciscan nuns in Brazil. And it's interesting because I was born in the countryside of Brazil, but from the very beginning, I couldn't relate to anything that was happening around. I couldn't relate to the place. I could relate to, obviously, my family, but there was something. But as a result, I was always trying to blend in. I always wanted to blend in to a certain extent. But the fact that I was the tallest of my... my peers, because Brazilians are normally short and about stocky, and I was tall and slender, so I was like a sore thumb. So I was always trying to blend in somehow, but it was this element I couldn't go over. So it so happens that one particular day. There was a bit of the boys, especially the boys, were unruly, you know, and then the nun said, stop, and pointed at me. You should be like Cairo. He's a golden boy. And he started saying, you know, words, you know, praising and everything. And, you know, that he should be like me, a good student, blah, 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 blah. Well, as a result, I sensed, as young as I was, that would put me away from the average. Yeah. So I sensed there was something separating me from the rest. And that was, I wasn't very comfortable with that. Later on, the same thing happened. Many times I was, you know, single, and I was single, and people say, well, you should do like him, and blah, blah, blah. But as a result, Lisa, I created within myself, and it gives me a bit of fear of success. Mm. That to a certain extent, is even today, is still with me. That's why it took me so long to write my first book. It took so long for me to start going out and sharing things. So because of this element, because if I'm successful, I'll be away from people. I'll be, you know, I won't be able to blend in. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This fear that could be otherwise something simple or somebody say nice things about you, you thank you and move on. But at that time, it caught me in that situation. So this fear of success only now is beginning to, you know, I'm beginning to deal with this in a good way. But it's there, on and off, it's there, right? The only form I can overcome this if I think that what I'm doing is not about myself. Mm. If I think that what I'm doing now, it's not about myself, I'm okay with it, yeah? But if I think it's just me, myself, I still, those echoes of past still somewhere there. So this is stored in the kidneys. And this has some implications as we're going to talk about this later on. I never shared this before.
Wow. But
this has been coming, I guess, air, acknowledge, integrate, and release.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm grateful that you're sharing it here.
Yes. I think you can hear me very well.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is that this emotion, fear and all that, this is some form of information that comes to us. You know, obviously, there are certain things that are construed inside as a result from this or that, but basically, it's being exposed to something. Then we come this information to us, and then you ask, how does our body process that? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I normally, one thing that I do a lot, at least in my practice, I worked with allergies a lot, all kinds of allergies, but it's not enough for me to realize what are you allergic to. Also, I want to heal that. And there's a way of doing that with acupuncture or just my finger or just my paw. There are ways. So I'm practicing. I see lots of people, especially children with allergies. But then there's something before we get there. In my mind, we have two filing cabinets in our brain, okay? One filing cabinet stores just information. I went to a food store, I got a piece of bread, I got the juice, and blah, 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 I did this and that. That stores in a filing cabinet called hippocampus. Yeah, it's in our brain, just fact information. But there's another one, another filing cabinet that stores information with something attached to it, with attachment, which is an emotion.
Mm.
This is stored in a place called amygdala. All right. Now, this is very interesting because the information that stores in the hippocampus, it's there. It's just go and, you know, look at it. Doesn't cause any problem. But the emotions, as long as there's some emotion attached to information, those are the ones that keep coming. Those are the ones reacting against or awful. And the beauty of everything, very few people know, this amygdala, it has two hemispheres, the right and the left. The right hemisphere stores only negative emotions, fear, for instance. It's just that. Just that filing cabinet within the filing cabinet just stores non-conscious and especially fear. The left hemisphere of the amygdala stores positive emotions and is more conscious. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, that's amazing.
There is a department.
Yeah.
Emotion and fear. How important that is. Because knowing where it is stored, we can retrieve it. We can bring air, acknowledge, integrate, and release. So that's where this, I'm sharing with my secret, one of the secrets I have. I go straight there. I go to the left side of the amygdala and work with that. Now, as I said, I'm going to share an example of what happens in my daily life. I'm going to share with you about allergies. Okay. There's somebody, this happened many times, comes to me with allergy to this or that or whatever that is. Do you know what one of the main causes of allergies these days? I'm going to describe a situation. This person goes to the food store and shopping for a cookie, okay? And there you are, look at the ingredients, this and that. Nowadays, we look for ingredients a lot, right?
Yeah.
The cell phone rings, and then you find out that a very good person, a good friend of yours or somebody, family, a member of your family, had an accident and was taken to hospital, okay? So even though you know later on it wasn't a big deal, it's just some scratches, the person got medicated and been released and went home, from that moment onwards, you're going to react to every single ingredient of that cookie you're looking at.
Wow.
Every single ingredient of that. It took me a while to figure that out because the Chinese didn't talk about this, obviously. They didn't have cell phone in those days.
Yeah.
Well, here you are with the information plus emotion. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So you associate, even in conscious level, you read the ingredients, but the emotion attached to this. That's the starting point for an allergy.
That's amazing. I have 22 food allergies, and that is amazing. And what's even more amazing is that I've gone through my healing journey, I've noticed that some of those allergies have ceased. So this is really incredible information, Cairo. I love what you're sharing right now.
This is, Lisa, is as deep as it goes. Because you could be something, you know, you could be eating something, a watermelon, and you get upset with something powerful. All of a sudden, think, I'm allergic to watermelon. Why? Watermelon's so healthy. You know, why is that? So this could be, I'm not saying that all of them are, but this is a major ingredient. It took me a long time. That's why my patient called me Allergy Sherlock Holmes. because I've been through this before. I've been working with energy for so long that I can, you know, figure certain things out. So, and the other way, once you clear that, once you, I like to bring this to download this to the conscious mind, it kind of breaks the spell. Of course, you can introduce it to meridians, which I do with acupuncture or other things, so reintegrate that information. But this could be simple, something simple like that. Yeah. So there's no reason to have to be allergic to something to be otherwise healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see how powerful that is? Yeah. Very powerful.
Really powerful. Does that... Now, when you talk about the ingredients and fear, but do you see, like, are there other things with fear? Like, I've noticed, like, even just going out in public can create some social anxiety with the quarantines and things. So as far as, like, places or activities, is that something that kind of follows that same structure?
Yes. This is actually comes to the what we call phobias, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fear of heights, fear of open spaces, fear of being closed down or something. This is, in fact, from what I see, is a fear of a fear.
Mm-hmm.
Phobia, it's not like that. You developed phobia based on something you experienced before, right? There is something that happened before, and you have the first experience. The second one is already a phobia because you cannot, if you haven't, so if fear of a fear, if there's not a previous fear, it wouldn't be a second one, would it?
Right.
So that's the fear of a fear. And this is what I shared with you. I don't know if you remember about my experience in Cappadocia.
Mm.
You know, that was in this tunnel, you know, like Christian, the dog is almost like ant's nest, you know, all the way, you know, to hide. And But now I, looking back in retrospective, I can see what happened then. Because before that, I got stuck in an elevator. Way back there. But it wasn't a big deal. I remember I was stuck in an elevator in Germany. And I was by myself. And I, all I could see was, you know, people's feet.
Oh, gosh.
And it was this lady. She could come with her feet. Tup, 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 tup. And see, are you there? Is anybody there? Zinzida? So, yes, I'm here. Oh, hold on. She went tup, 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 the window. I stayed there. And then she could come back. Are you still there? Yes, I am. So it took a while before somebody actually came and you know, got everything, you know, start working again and fix the elevator. So at the time, it wasn't a big deal. I was just sitting there. But when I got to be in this very close environment, that's when I start. That's when I felt my first claustrophobia. Mm. Because now looking back to retrospective, there was one, a previous one, which was this elevator. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Our perception doesn't necessarily determine how our body is going to react. Do you know what I mean? So at the time, I didn't think much about it, much of it. It just stuck. At some point, somebody came in, released me. But somewhere, somehow, within myself, within my energy, within my meridians, whatever that is, that information stayed there. So when I had that other situation later on in Cappadocia that was stuck in a place, that was the second time. And then it wasn't a fear anymore. It was phobia.
I see.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. And the thing is, Lisa, once you realize what caused that in the first place, that breaks the spell.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least it diffuses the energy stagnation it was there. Yeah, because it basically stays in the kidneys that we're going to talk about now.
Well, and this is fascinating to me because Dr. Tarya Ward, who was on here several months ago now, it feels like it was a long time ago, but it was just a few months. But she was actually talking about dreams because she's a dream analyst, and she said a lot of people have been having dreams about their kidneys, issues with their kidneys, cutting out their kidneys. And so I'm really excited to talk about this because I think there's an energy right now about the kidneys and what's happening with those. So yeah, I want to hear more about this.
Yeah, well, we're going to start now, but interesting you should say that because one of the things that's very much about the, when you interview, you start interacting with the patient, especially in Chinese, traditional Chinese medicine, they always ask about, is there any recurrent dream?
Mm.
Are there dreams that have been dreaming over and over? That's because based on Chinese, so I'm going to share this for the first time with you. So it's something you use a lot. If your dream about falling, you know, it's very common for people to dream about falling from somewhere or flying. This is lung related. This is your body calling attention for your lungs.
Wow.
Okay. If the dream is about fighting, you know, you fighting people, fighting animals, struggling, fighting, this is to do with liver. It's calling attention for your liver. Okay. If the dream is about fire, you're always in fire, putting out fire, there's a fire around and you're struggling, heart, no question about it. If the dream is about you hungry, or it happens a lot with me, I'm dreaming about this food or something, eating
yes.
or something, obviously spleen and stomach. But
I have dreams to Cairo, I like recurring. Not so much now, but every once in a while I have these recurring dreams about eating like all this delicious food that I'm allergic to now. I'm like, I want to go eat it all.
Yes, that's a good example. It's fun. But it's somewhat, it's to do with earth element, the stomach and spleen. They're doing sending some message to us. But if you dream about swimming water or drowning, anything involving water, kidneys.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything involving water, swimming or drowning, which is very common. Or, as you said, the kidneys themselves or the organs themselves. That could be even more specific.
Yeah.
But that's why I tend to ask these questions, because I mean, kind of, you know, guide me to where to go first. What's the body trying to convey?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is now the kidneys are associated with water, a water element, and interacts with the liver of the heart, because the heart is upstairs, right? Mm-hmm. My doll. Heart is upstairs, upper heater, and the kidneys downstairs, the lower mm-hmm. heater. So in normal circumstances, the water goes up to calm down, to control the fire. Yeah, otherwise the fire would take over. And the fire would come down to warm the water. Okay? So that's homeostasis, fire and water relationship. That's healthy, that's beautiful. Now, if by any chance, if the water is not strong enough, if our kidneys are not strong enough for some reason, not enough water goes up to calm the fire, right? And then the fire takes over. That's the cases of anxiety, you know, insomnia, all that, because not enough water to control the fire. And at the same time, if there's a blockage, the fire is not going down to warm up. That's cases of edema or problems with the lower leg, the legs. Now, this happens with fear. When fear paralyzes, have you ever, when you think about fearless, you think about something flowing or something frozen?
Mm-hmm.
Something frozen, right?
Yeah.
By fear, I froze. So imagine like a water element, but it's frozen. So it's not moving up and it stays there. And that creates an imbalance between fire and water. So it causes problems not only with the kidneys, but also the heart as well. And knowing how much the heart is associated with the mind, then you have mind states. Yeah, you have insomnia, you have schizophrenia and all that. When the problem is not in the heart, the problem is the kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
So if you treat the kidneys, you treat the foundation for many, many problems I was going to see in a moment.
Mm.
And you know what the spirit of the kidneys is called? Zhi, Z or Z-H-I, with Chinese called Zhi. Zhi is the spirit of the kidneys. Yeah? It can be translated by willpower willpower. Determination, perseverance. So that's the spirit of the kidneys. Sure. Last time we talked about Hun, with the spirit of the liver, and now we're talking about Zhi, the spirit of the kidneys.
Okay.
This is something beautiful. Someday maybe we can share spirit of the elements. Mm-hmm. It's as beautiful as it can get. Yeah, it's really, really nice. It makes you understand lots of things. Now, if you look at the Zhi, what's the... What the character? If you look at the character, you can understand what the character is conveying to you. It's the lower part of the character represents the heart, right? Emotion. And the upper part of the character is an important person. So altogether means a leader. So if somebody has a good jure, a good spirit of the kidneys, this person is a leader. Or has the elements or the qualities of a leader, determination, perseverance. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you imagine that a leader, maybe he has fear, but it's not something obvious. The leader is always out there, right? Mm-hmm. So, but it's just to say that the emotions, they have a benevolent aspect to them. I mean, a little bit of fear is important, because otherwise, you'd be jumping off the bridge just to see how it feels, you know. So you need to be a bit careful. It's only when it goes too much and it starts affecting us. Okay. There's another one that I see a lot in my practice, Lisa, which is a ladies with number one, infertility or periods, a problem with their periods. Quite often comes from fear and way back in time. It's probably quite often a result of a sexual trauma. And the energy that will be here in the reproductive area migrates, as the Chinese describe, to the heart and hide behind the heart for fear and leave this area unguarded.
Oh, wow.
And this can be emotional. It can be physical, as I said. It can affect your periods. It's one of the main causes of female infertility. It can be traced back to that. Mm. And that's one thing you can address. That's one thing you can address. But it's okay to let go. It's okay to go back home. Right? So this is the kind of thing you can convey. Mm. Now, there is also something that I notice a lot, depending on what kind of fear you have. Like, for instance, if it's like life-threatening fear, really, really afraid, you know, something. Yeah? This is more, as you know, affects your first chakra. It's very, you know, about survival, like the Muladhara, very basic chakra. It's a fear of like regular fear, like a fear of cockroaches or fear of whatever. This is more like second chakra, you know, more emotion. Yeah, that's what's done. But if it's just feeling secure or disempowered, this is more like third chakra. You know, there are different degrees of fear, and therefore there are different ways of addressing. Okay. Now, one thing that is very interesting to consider is that, as I said, fear has friends. Right? Has a whole family. Now comes another one that I would like to share, is anxiety.
Oh boy, I'm good friends with anxiety.
Yes. Anxiety is pretty much there. It's like fear on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's interesting if you see that, as I said before, the kidneys are basic. It's a foundation. It's where energy from our ancestors is stored. Okay, so imagine like this tree, this foundation, and the different segments. So if the key being the foundation, the kidneys being the foundation, the keys being the core, our batteries. So our relationship with the lungs, our relationship with the heart, our relationship with other organs, when they get a bit affected, that's the beginning. That becomes not a single emotion anymore. It becomes complex. Mm. And that anxiety is. It's affecting the lungs, it's affecting the spleen, and it's affecting the kidney, affecting the heart. Why is that? Basically, it's anxiety, as you know, is energy out of control. You know, it's energy without anchor. It's not anchor in your foundation. It's spinning, ascending, right? Mm-hmm. There's a disconnection between fire, water, earth, up and down. The breathing is very shallow and fast. Yeah. Basically, just pay attention. Or next time that happens, if you go to a party or a gathering and you don't know many people, and you don't know what to do with your hands, and you feel like hiding behind something, this, pay attention to how you're breathing. Probably fast and shallow, right? And this is enough to create the problem, because your space, it gets narrow, you're being too exposed, you feel as if your environment is crashing on you. And the best thing to do, the best thing to overcome this is to start breathing deeply and slowly. You reverse that. Yeah. Start breathing deeply and slowly. You create like a shield, a cushion around you, because in Chinese medicine, the lungs are about your environment.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see how you feel. You feel totally different. No matter what's going on, you have this cushion around you. You have this protection, magnetic field, if you will, that makes you feel totally comfortable. And this is perhaps the best antidote for anxiety.
Mm.
breathe deeply and slowly, the best way you can. I'm going to share a particular exercise that I like very much. Basically, have other things, but left hand in your chest, right hand in your navel. I cannot show, but I can see. So my you know, left hand in your chest, right hand in your navel, on top of your navel. And then you're going to start breathing. It's like a loop. You breathe in, hold, and in imagination, breathe out. And imagine the air coming down the middle of your body, down, down, down. And as far as your hand, your right hand is, then you count one. Okay? Breathe in again. In, hold, down, 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 down to your navel, count two. Okay, breathe in again, in, hold, down, 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 down to your navel, count three. So it's like a loop, okay? Every time you reach your navel, in your imagination, you count. So keep doing that, and that makes that connection, I mentioned before, between the lungs and the kidneys, the heart and the kidneys. By just doing that. What I'm a bit concerned when I share this with a patient or somebody, I always said immediately, don't let the simplicity of this deter you from doing this. Mm. Because we believe that only complex things are good or function or works. And when you present somebody with something very simple, like breathing, and a person, you know, so I always tell that, don't let, you know, just do that anyway, because this is enough to work with anxiety. Plus, talking about kidneys and fear, right?
Yeah.
You can see. Can you see this?
Yeah.
Can you see that this is a tangerine?
Yeah.
What does it look like?
A kidney.
Kidneys, right?
Yeah.
Right and left. And this is precisely one of the best things for fear, one of the best things for anxiety. The simple, humble tangerine.
Oh, that's so cool.
And this is called the Lord's signature. It's for the way, the form, the shape, something presents itself in nature, holds the key as to what is good for. This is something I presented in the past. It's called the Lord's signature or doctor's signature. So it looks just like kidneys, and it's very good for the kidneys, very good for fear, to eat some tangerines, and anxiety and everything. Okay? Another wow. one.
That's so Another good. One.
Another one. I don't know if you can see this. Can you see this?
Oh, yeah. Are those cashews?
Cashew nuts.
Yep.
What do they look like?
Kidneys.
Kidneys, right? What are you good for?
Kidneys.
Kidneys. It's the best Prozac known to me. A handful of cashew nuts.
Wow, that's awesome.
Best thing for anxiety. Just a handful of cashew nuts. And it's wonderful for you. Wow. And the same thing, like kidney beans, as the name suggests, any kidneys, they look just like kidneys. They're wonderful for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things like that, very simple. Another thing that that it's very useful when you deal with anxiety, phobias, or fear is just pay attention to your body language. You know, your body languages, but they hold the key of what's going on, you know, how you react. So basically, when you're in fear, what happens to your body? Are you totally open, relaxed? No.
No.
You are?
All shut down.
Okay, right?
Yeah.
You never say, I'm really afraid. I'm in fear. No. You totally contract it as far as you can. Now, the best thing to do when you're in fear or something like that, if you can, is to kind of stretch as much as you can, as far as you can go, your legs, your body, your hands, as far as you can. And knowing that you'll be breathing shallow and fast, you're going to breathe very deeply and slowly while stretching. this is wonderful for fear as well. Wonderful for anxiety. As far as you can go. Just imagine that you can inch in on your side, your legs, and breathing. There's a qigong for a breathing qigong for the kidneys, which basically you breathe in through your nose and let go through your mouth, but half closed. Yeah? In and out. So keep doing, this is a qigong for the kidneys, breathing qigong. So if you do this with totally outstretched as far as you can and start breathing deeply and slowly, this is wonderful for your energy. This is wonderful for your kidneys. If you cannot start eating tangerine as well, or some cashew nuts, this compounds on.
That's awesome. God, that's great information. That's great information. Are there symptoms or like what would be something that our audience can take away today is that may give them a, like, let them know that they have something going on with their kidneys. Like, are there certain, I know we've talked a lot about fear, but like if there was like a short list of emotional or physical symptoms for the kidneys, if they're like, gosh, I want to try some of this, like what would that be? I'm just curious. Yeah.
Yes, we have basically this lung, as you said, breathing, and you feel like your breathing is not complete, it's a bit shallow. This is a relationship between kidneys and lungs. Because energetically, when we breathe in, this is to do with kidneys, not the lungs. The energy of bringing the air in has to do with kidneys. Breathing out has to do with the lungs.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you think it's some problem breathing, it's not complete. Your hands get a bit perspiration, your hands, you know? This is connection again with the kidneys and the lungs because the lungs are responsible for the pores, right?
Okay.
Another one that I mentioned to you before, it's very typical, knee problems. This is fantastic. Knee problems, knee pain, swelling, whatever that is, kidney issue.
Okay.
Kidney issues. And quite often there's an element of fear, there's an emotion behind this. Lower back pain, also very, very known, very, you know. And also dreams, as I said, dream of water, dreaming too much about water, swimming, drowning. This is very much about this healing, about the kidney thing. And the fear. Just see how you are. I mean, look at yourself in the mirror. Do you feel that you are a discontracted person? Do you feel that you are, you know, flexible person? So start asking this question. If you are tight, contracted, chances are there's a kidney element playing there.
Okay.
If it's not the kidney themselves, it will be the adrenals. Yeah.
Okay.
Because one thing I can say, can share with you, that not many people know. You know, in practice, in daily practice, there's no such thing as kidneys in excess. I've never seen in my whole life an excess of energy in the kidneys. It's always low because of the fear element, Lisa. Because as I said, fear is all around us. It seems like we're coping all along with fear, 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 fear. And this drains our kidneys. It drains our energy. So it's very common to find deficiency, kidney deficiency. That's why in Chinese medicine, most of the things, most of the foods are tonics for kidneys.
Mm.
You never take something to reduce the kidney energy. It's always to bring more.
Yeah.
Anything that's black sesame, black beans, black grapes or dark grapes, something that has the shape, as I said, tangerines, beans, kidney beans, cashew nuts. So those things are tonics for the kidneys. At the same time, you never find heart deficient. It's always in excess. Because if the kidneys are low, the water, heart tends to be higher. You know what I mean? Connection.
Yep.
There's more fire than water. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
So ideally, no matter what you feel, no matter what's going on with you, always nourish the kidneys.
Mm.
There's something that I also recommend. People ask me, what can I do in terms of massage? Sole of the feet. You know, I don't know if you can see.
Mm-hmm.
This right here, right in the middle, close to, that's basically in the middle. There is a point, it's called kidney one. There's a kidney number one. It's when the energy begins. Okay. And this is basically our connection with Mother Earth.
Okay.
The Earth element. And this is a wonderful point to massage.
Okay.
With fear, when you have fear or feeling secure, just keep massaging. Just keep massaging. Get hold of some lavender oil, which is very in tune, very much in tune with us. And just keep massaging this. It's wonderful for your kidneys. Yeah. Wonderful. Another thing that is very good whenever possible is to walk first thing in the morning on grass with dew, the wet.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah, it really charges your water element. It really charges your kidneys because of this point. Yeah? So yeah. This is the connection. As much as Bai Hui, Governor Vassal 20 is connected to the sun, to the high, this is connected to Earth.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
In basic, that's what we need at this moment, to energize this, to touch Earth, walk barefoot on Earth, so we can connect with this energy, the Mother Nature energy, that not only drains that which is affecting our heads, affecting our heart, feeling secure, but also brings fresh energy to us, to our kidneys, and therefore for everything else.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cairo, this is so great. I can't believe how fast it's like already been an hour. I mean, time flies in here. I see it every single
time. It's like this. You know, just call quality time. It's precious.
It is. It's been so good. Like, I'm wondering, you know, I took a ton. I've got a ton of notes here that I just took from you talking. And so, guys, I'll get some of this out on social media and some of these notes in the show notes too. You know, but this is great information, because my kidneys and my liver, I'm telling you, it's all my little detoxification organs. So this is such great information.
I'm very happy to be able to share this, Lisa. It's when I'm the happiest.
Oh, yeah. Well, I love it. I love having you here, and we've had a great audience. Thank you guys for watching, and thank you. You know, Carson said here, he said, I think fear of success is very common. Personally, it's been one of my biggest fears. He said, thank you for the vulnerability, and I concur. Like, thank you so much for sharing with us today your own personal stories and also how we can heal ourselves.
Yeah, I felt secure enough, safe enough to do that. I just want to say, if somebody wants to learn more or something, they can contact me. I'm offering online sessions. I used to travel a lot, but now, given the circumstances, I'm assisting people online as well. But before I go, I'd like to, there's a poem about fear that I'd like to share with you.
Yes, please.
All of you. Yeah, it's my favorite poem. It's by Khalil Gibran. It's called Fear. Okay? Bear with me. It is said that before entering the sea, a river trembles with fear. She looks back at the path she's traveled, from the peak of the mountains, the long winding road crossing forests and villages. And in front of her, she sees an ocean so vast that to enter, that seems nothing more than disappear forever. But there's no other way. The river cannot go back. Nobody can go back. To go back is impossible in existence. But the river needs to take the risk of entering the ocean, because only then will fear disappear. Because that's where the river will know that it's not about disappearing the ocean, but of becoming the ocean. So sometimes that would be what fear the most. If you take the plunge, if you don't trust, there's going to be some invisible wings that will be attaching us. That's when you learn the most. That's when we become the ocean. That's when we merge with everything that's out there.
It's beautiful, Cairo. Thank you so much. So beautiful. Thank you, as always. Cairo will be back, you guys, in just a few weeks, his monthly time with us. And thank you for watching. And so much love to you. Have a great week, everybody. We'll be back. I think we're back live on Tuesday. So thank you, Cairo.
You're welcome. Take care, Lisa. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.